Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Thank you. Thank you, Deep Voice Man. Thank you, Rob Center, fabulous producer, for making all this happen. Thank you, Mr. Joe McGranahan, for enjoying your retirement shortened week. 4 days. This is your last day until the long weekend, but you'll be back on Monday.
Hopefully.
Monday morning we will have...
Good Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Even if it does, we'll still be here. Monday morning we'll have an excerpt of Senator Casey's remarks.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, guess what he says?
Blah, blah, blah.
The president crossed the line.
No, I have great respect for Senator Casey. Well, I'd be interested to hear what he had to say.
Very interesting.
Don't know that I'd agree with him, but I'd
listen. He's keeping an open mind. He is listening to the testimony. We're going to start out with an interview this morning for about 10 minutes, and then we're going to launch into impeachment conversation, and that's it. Though that's the sum total of our activities, people that have sent us notes. Throughout our program, you can call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And text us at 70236.
We ought to spend just a moment or two later on talking about the Democratic debate last night, too.
Oh, I agree. I am so impressed with each and every one of them. there isn't a single person up there that wouldn't be a better president than the one we have now. So that works
out
nicely.
I'll debate you on that any day or night.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, then we have a debate scheduled for the 9 a.m. hour.
Yeah, but finally. First of all, let's talk about something we really like. Garth Everett, state representative. Garth, good morning. You're on the mark.
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
No, it was Joe. Mark's on the other side, but that's all right.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
All right, sir. And you?
Yeah, fine.
And Joe McGranahan is here. He's our conservative, wears earplugs all the time. And I'm Mark Lawrence, I guess a liberal free thinker. And we have Garth Everett on the line. He's a Republican member of the State House, 84th District. Right?
Correct.
Okay, I'm sorry to put that in the form of a question. You think I would know that, but they all blend together after a while. But, yeah, no, we appreciate you calling in, and you're an active House member. So there's a couple of things going on in the Senate. We'll talk about those another day. But things going on in the House. The gift limits bill is going to be on your desk for a vote before too long. Tell us about this. We did talk a little bit about it on the radio yesterday.
Well, the bill that I put forth out of our state government committee that I'm happen to be the chairman of now would we right now don't have any limits on gifts to public officials, and by the way, this applies to all public officials, not just state legislators, and the legislation would eliminate any cash gifts, no cash gifts at all. It would allow us to accept what I would call de minimis gifts of $50 or less, and that's in view of when we visit a high school or some group or Boy Scouts or anything, and they want to give us a T-shirt or a plaque or something. You know, we think that they should be able to do that. Governor Wolf found himself in a situation after he put his absolute gift ban in effect for the administration, where he was at a school. You know, he couldn't accept the T-shirt they were trying to give him. So we think that we should be able to set those kinds of gifts when we're out visiting our constituents. And then it would also allow us over a period of a whole year to accept hospitality, meals, lodging of $500 or less from a given lobbying firm. And other than that, and we'd have to report all this on our ethics statements, so that it'd be open to the public what we are accepting, so they can see what we're doing.
What is the current law?
The current law is that we can accept anything, and there's our reporting requirements, but we can I mean, I could accept a trip to Tahiti, you know, if I chose to, which I've never been offered, and second off, I wouldn't accept, but I would have to report that. But there are no limits right now on what we can accept.
So what do you have against Tahiti, Garth?
Well, I'd love to go to Tahiti.
On your own dime.
I think I probably should pay for it myself if I'm going to do it someday.
Well, I think the thing that caused the most stir and comment when we were discussing it on the air was the provision that you can accept unlimited gifts from someone, a lobbyist, you're having a romantic relationship with. Isn't that a rather odd carve-out?
I think it's a practical carve-out. I mean, the fact that the fact that someone is having a relationship or married to, you know, somebody who happens to be a lobbyist, and then for them not to be able to give gifts to each other just seems that would be, and again, they'd have to report these gifts. It's just that they would be allowed to accept them if they're in that kind of relationship.
Well, don't you think it should be, I'm sorry, Mark, but I've got to ask, don't you think it should be that all state employees operate under the same guidelines? I mean, it seems ridiculous for the governor to have cracked down on employees while the representatives and senators can receive much more. I know that when we invite someone from PennDOT to speak at a meeting, it's kind of sad because normally you'd pay for their lunch, and it's no big deal. We're not buying anything from them. But they're not allowed to do that, and I've even been in meetings with PennDOT people where they brought their own water.
Well, and I agree with you. I think, you know, the governor made his decision, and that's, you know, he is allowed to do that within his administration. It would be our hope that going forward, should this become law, we've got a ways to go, that this would be adopted by the administration as something more practical. I agree with you. We have conservation banquets and sportsmen's banquets, and in the past, and routinely, folks from the Fish and Boat Commission or the Game Commission would come out and give a presentation, and, you know, they would be allowed to accept the buffet dinner that we're having, which you can imagine how extravagant they are at the fire halls. and now they can't do that. And I've been in lots of meetings with public officials in the administration where, you know, we're out in rural places someplace, and whoever is hosting the meeting would, in the past, would routinely provide just, you know, basic sandwiches and chips, and now these folks from the administration can't accept, and it kind of makes it difficult to do, you know, business the way we used to, and I don't think anybody has ever changed a vote or changed a ruling or changed a decision based on, you know, getting a meal or a sandwich for lunch someplace.
All right, well, to be continued. Keep in touch and come and visit us in person in the weeks and months ahead, and we can elaborate on this still further. House has already voted on opening a window within the statute of limitations that would allow individuals who are child sexual abuse victims to sue as an adult. Your view on what the House passed, and now I guess the Senate has taken action, so you'll get another look at this bill.
Well, we in the House have passed statute of limitation changes in two successive sessions, and have been unable to get any action in the Senate thus far. It looks like that they're willing to discuss that now, and I think that's great. That's a great sign. Mark Rossi, Representative Mark Rossi, has been the champion of this in the House, and you know, we would probably like to be a little more expansive than the Senate, but if that's what they're offering, we'll probably negotiate a little more and take what we can get.
On another note, Senate Bill, I think it's 617, came out of the House Transportation Committee allowing municipal police to use radar, but it's got many limitations on it. Only full-time police officers and full-time departments that offer 24/7, 365 coverage. Isn't that being rather ridiculously restrictive? It hasn't come up for a vote yet, but I think it's going to move sometime in December.
Yeah, Garth.
The proponents of having municipal radar have been pushing us since the time, you know, I've been doing this for about 13 years now. This bill's been there, probably predates me. And again, I think that the municipal departments should take the compromise that's being offered and we can roll it out there and allow those departments that qualify to do it. And then I think folks will maybe see that it's not the the fears that folks have about it being used as a money-generating mechanism for municipalities. Hopefully they'll see that that's not true, and we can move forward in the future and open it up to other departments also.
But it doesn't seem to be a problem in 49 other states. What makes you think it'll be a problem in Pennsylvania?
I'm not saying that I personally think it's going to be a problem.
Oh, okay.
It's been a perception that it will be used by municipalities to set up speed traps just to make money. And I think, like I said, if we get it out here and demonstrate that it's going to be used only for public safety purposes, that maybe going forward we can broaden it out and provide it for everybody.
All right, some other topics briefly. The state legislature monitoring and helping the Harrisburg School District. Tell us about the very latest conversation there.
Yes, Speaker Terzai is the prime sponsor of a legislation. We were debating amendments to it for a few hours yesterday into the evening, and I think we're going to take it up and finish it off today. But the basic premise is that any student in the Harrisburg School District would be offered a voucher to go to any other public or private school of their choice, and the tab for that would be picked up half by the school district through the money that was already provided to the school district per student, and the other half would be picked up by the state. And it actually would not harm the school district when you run the numbers of, you know, if 10% of the kids did it or 25, the school district itself would not be harmed financially. It would just give the opportunity, just as background for those who may not know, the Harrisburg School District has been placed into receivership. We have consistently provided more money and more money and more money to the district. Their test scores continue to decline. Violence in the schools. It's just not a good place for kids to be right now. And while we try to fix the long-term problem of the whole school district itself, we just want to offer sort of a lifeline to those kids that are stuck in that district right now, whose parents don't have the wherewithal to move out of the district, out into the suburbs, to the better districts, and offer those kids an opportunity to get a good education while we fix the overall problem of that the school district has.
Don't you think, I'm going to, full disclosure, I'm a product of the Harrisburg public school system a few years back when it was pretty good. But looking at it now, they're in dire financial straits because of the prior malfeasance of the superintendent and the financial director and all the other people there, that now this new group is trying to get a hold on things. Isn't it kind of counterproductive to start penalizing them before they have a chance to really make a difference?
Well, we're actually, as I said, not going to penalize them. We're actually going to provide them. Right now, we're providing them with $22,500 a year per student, which is way higher than any of the averages across the state. And we've put more money in, and we're just not getting anywhere. So we just want to try this while we try to fix the school district itself. And, you know, and it's not that, you know, I don't blame the teachers. I don't blame, you know, the students. I don't, you know, Harrisburg is not what Harrisburg used to be. The downtown, you know, has had flight out of it. And it's not the Harrisburg schools that, you know, I'm 65 years old when Steele High was there and John Harris and Harrisburg was a more robust community with a more robust economy, the schools were good and things were fine. But that's not the day that we're dealing with right now. And it's socioeconomic factors. You know, it's not just the schools, but it's a reflection of just what's happened in Harrisburg. And we're just trying to help these kids that are there right now while we get the school district right-sized and back on the right track.
Well, you're on my list, Garth. You mentioned Steelton, but didn't mention William Penn.
Come on!
That's where I went.
All right. Briefly, state pension law changes. Explain what the House is working on there.
Yeah, we're not changing the pensions at all. What we're changing is the oversight and transparency into the decisions and the decision-making process that are used by our two pension systems, PSERS and SERS. They pay higher management fees there's like 85 like-sized pension systems in the country, and we are one of the we pay higher fees than anybody else, and we have lower performance than most of the other pension funds, and that just adds to our already existing pension deficit when we're not getting the kind of returns that we should be getting on the $90 billion of assets that are there. And we're just trying to make it run like a real pension fund does and not like it's been run in the past. And it'll have no effect on benefits for anybody other than hopefully taxpayers won't have to put as much money into the pension systems to pay for those who are already retired and will be retired and in the system. Won't have to put as much money in because we'll be making more money.
Well, thank you so much. Keep in touch. We'll elaborate on all of these topics and many more when you come and visit us. Keep us up to date as these bills progress. And stay in touch, House Member Garth Everett. Very
well, thanks,
much appreciated.
Garth.
Thank you,
care.
Sir. Lycoming and Clinton County, it would be his coverage areas. Muncie is one of the places he has an office.
Well, and you did a lot to help us with the bypass, getting the bypass project.
CSVT. Okay, super.
Good man.
84th District State House Republican Garth Everett. We are going to take a break. When we come back, you may send us a note about anything we've discussed so far with Representative Everett, or we can talk about impeachment or the Democratic debate. We have a text that relates to the highly effective Democrats who are running for president who were on the stage last night, and we have two emails.
Both concerning impeachment.
One is for the president, one is again. Am I assuming that?
That seems fair.
Okay. All right, so we're going to read those emails.
One's fur and one's again. Where are you coming from, the Ozarks, buddy?
We thank the emailers for keeping them under 100 words, as directed earlier, so that's very much appreciated. And we thank Rob Center, our fabulous producer, but most of all, we thank you for sticking with us. So we're going to launch into open phones momentarily. Dial it up, 1-800-795-9565. Gordon Sondland closed the door yesterday on the impeachment when he
closed it on his foot, really.
Said that's all that's necessary. He dropped the mic, and that's all that was needed. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to do all of that when we return. 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
This is more like babysitting.
Yes, it is, but I'm willing to do it.
What do they call it when you take a senior citizen to a place where they take good care of them during the day? Respite care or adult daycare?
Adult daycare, yes. Are you saying I'm ready for that?
That's what I thought I was doing. Welcome on board, everybody.
Well, you're going to have to be less obtuse.
Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. One of our texters says, Mark, you're not funny.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, well, I mean, assaulting me in adult daycare. I mean, I'm not quite ready
for that
yet.
I think that's the theme behind the...
Although some of our writers may feel that way, if I would defend the president, because there seems to be...
Let's do it.
No shortage of partisan comment here this morning on both sides.
Upper right-hand corner.
First one starts out from our friend E.B., who says multiple witnesses, most recently Ambassador Sondland, have now testified that Trump made aid to the Ukraine dependent upon their president announcing an investigation into the Bidens. That's a very serious allegation, so of course Republicans, including Fred Keller, are simply refusing to acknowledge it. They keep pushing the false narrative that the hearings have brought forth nothing that implicates Trump. That is simply not true, as anyone who watched them can attest. It's a shame that Fred Keller has turned into such a useless Trump sycophant. He clearly believes he was elected to serve Trump, not the people. His behavior throughout the impeachment process has been embarrassing, as well as a pure betrayal of the oath he took. Then again, that's the GOP way, I guess. Crimes are okay if Trump commits them. If things were reversed and a Democratic president was accused of this, you can bet your sweet bippy that Toady Fred would be in support of impeachment. What a partisan shill. That's our friend EB's take. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess we could make a couple of comments about this. First of all, testified that Trump made aid to the Ukraine dependent upon the president announcing an investigation into the Bidens. I think the testimony that came forth was that he made a White House meeting dependent upon that.
Oh, I think they both came up. And I think they're kind of interchangeable.
And then in the end, didn't you find it odd that Sunderland would leave out the fact that the president told him, I don't want anything, I don't want anything, no quid pro quo,
yeah,
just tell...
Yeah, people do that after they start an investigation. I've heard...
Was the investigation started at that point?
Well, the whistleblower had come forward.
Okay.
So I people do that. I've heard defendants say when they catch on that someone's wearing a wire that near them, they'll say things like, oh, I did not commit that crime. I want to say this loud that, you know, there I have not done anything wrong. I've never burgled that place.
I'm not a crook.
Right. They'll do that because they know that somebody's wearing a wire or their conversation. They want to be clear about their new denial or their, you know, they suddenly have seen the light and they want to, you know, they got religion, as they say. So that's what the president did. He knew he was being tracked and monitored.
Or could he have just been clarifying what he had said earlier?
He was lying is what he was doing, but that's just my opinion. But, yeah, you didn't hit delete, did you?
Yes, I did. I deleted it. It's not there anymore.
Okay.
You're ready for adult daycare. Shall we change your diaper now or later? And you just took away the one I was going to read.
Well, that's because you called up the wrong one. There
no, I
go.
Didn't. Duff says, I can only imagine how these two, and he was talking about our calls yesterday from Tom and Than. He said, I can only imagine how these two unbound progressive bastions received their catechism to liberal thought. I can imagine sitting around the dinner table as young men discussing social and political issues with Mama and Papa, conversations such as, quote, even though you have male genitalia, it does not mean you are a man, unquote, or, quote, babies in the womb are really just like tonsils, don't need them, get rid of them, unquote, and it's, quote, okay to sneak into our country, unquote, or, quote, rich people should give you all their money, you shouldn't have to work for it, unquote, and, quote, we need more marijuana in this country, son. Last, don't believe what's in the Bible, let the government explain it to you someday. So inspiring, those two.
That's too bad. Well, this is what foments the division. I think maybe Than or Tom may have some thoughts on all of those topics. But if Duffy really thinks that's what they think, then that's... You know, that's where we are in this country, that people aren't really willing to listen or talk, or they just enjoy that big, bright stripe between them and people they put on the other side. It's too bad, but that's where we are. So, let's see. We got Mike on the line from Bloomsburg. Thanks for calling back, Mike. Haven't heard from you in a while. Good to hear from you again. Go
right
ahead.
I heard from him yesterday.
Oh, did we? Where's my brain?
I don't remember yesterday because what happened was I watched much of the impeachment hearings, and then I watched the Democratic debate at night, and the combination of those two put me in this sense of euphoria. And trust me, I don't use drugs now. I did have a cup of coffee in the morning, but it was really, it seemed, watching those two things brought everything together for me, and it seemed like the world just made sense.
Okay.
And let me elaborate on that. And the reason for that was, I looked at that room, that impeachment room, and to me, it reminded me, the people in it reminded me of the bar in Star Wars, okay? There were some good people and some bad people. And it was pretty easy to tell who the good people were and who the bad people were, in my mind. And then when I watched the debate at night, I said, you know what? Everything that people told me when I was starting my working career is starting to come true. These were guys, you know, that fought in the Second World War and stuff, you know, the old-timers then. And they told me, they said, that this government is trying to ruin this country. And I think that's the case because I listened to those people last night, and to me it sounds like they're trying to dumb down America, they're trying to not make people have to work, or not have to make, you know, trying to make people not be self-reliant, not be, you know, be aggressive to try to succeed and work hard to get ahead. It's just that, hey, you're born or you're here, and the government's going to take care of everything. Don't worry about nothing. It's all going to be good.
Yeah, I think that what interested me was that Elizabeth Warren won't back off her ridiculous Medicare for All claim and her tax to take all the money. Someone said if you took all the money from all the billionaires, it would only fund Medicare for All for 3 years.
Exactly. But what I heard her do was demonize people, divide people, turn, you know, people like me, you know, who's middle class, against the rich billionaires that are keeping me from being a millionaire and taking my money so I can't be a, you know, a billionaire. And to me, that divisiveness just turns me off.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Mike, you're out of time. You want to hold on or call back?
No, it is great talking to you. I just want to listen to the other callers now.
Okay.
Fabulous to talk to you. Yeah, thank you very much for checking in. Please call back. We got 3 minutes limit, so we never got to that point. 3 minutes if someone else is waiting. Unlimited if no one else is waiting. We got a couple of emails pending and some texts. We're going to read those on the radio. Rob Center's fabulous producer, Matt Cotrillo's in the newsroom. Joe's here. I'm Mark. This is WDKOK Sun Mary.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we got open phones right now. We had House member Garth Everett on earlier talking about fixing the school district in Harrisburg, talking about that bill that prevents various gifts to state state public officials. That would include state employees. So you can remark on that. We've talked a little bit about the impeachment, had some fabulous letters, and we got another one that related to the impeachment, and we got a text that relates to the wonderful Democrats who are running for president who were on the stage last night, any of whom would be a better president than the one we have. So, editorial comment.
Well, it certainly is, and it's wrong.
No, is it? Which one would make a worse president than President Trump?
Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren.
Now, you're just trying to think of the ones
Joe
you can think
Biden.
Of. You can't think of their names.
Steyer,
Pete
I think
Buttigieg?
Would be worse. Pete, well, he might not
see?
Be the worst president.
See?
I didn't say, I didn't name him among those.
If you had to vote for one of them, who would you vote for?
Joe Biden. I'm always happy to have a president whose foot's in his mouth. That keeps him from saying the wrong things.
That's very entertaining. What is it? He's like a walking gaffe waiting to happen. But he's got a lot of support, so we'll talk about that as our show progresses. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury.
Not as much as he had once.
All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Newsroom tells us a Cole Township home being searched right now by the State Attorney General's Office and Cole Township Police. Cole Township Police say to WKOK that they and the State Attorney General's Drug Task Force have executed a search warrant in the 1400 block of Pulaski Avenue in Cole Township. They're currently at that home. We are trying to gather some more details there, and we'll keep you posted about that. Three-year-old Arabella Parker, who was taken off life support Wednesday, opened her eyes and was seen to be breathing on her own. Daily Item reported that. Geisinger tells us today Arabella is still alive in critical condition. And there was a vigil last night in Sunbury. U.S. Senator Bob Casey on the WKOK Newsline for a pre-recording of an On the Mark interview for next week.
We're going to learn a lot more. We have to see the rest of the evidence presented. But when an executive abuses power, the Congress has to make a decision. Do you allow that to be done with impunity and to not have a response? There's no other way other than impeachment to check the power of the executive when that executive abuses his or her power. Once you're on a government phone call of any kind, it doesn't just mean just with a foreign leader, but maybe especially with a foreign leader. Once you're doing government work, you can't be asking for help on a campaign.
other federal workers can't do campaigning on government time, he says. We'll air more of his interview next week. Monday, we'll air about a 7-minute segment of that, and we'll have the rest on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday on WDKOK. And if you think Google's following you around too much, you'll be happy to know that Amnesty International's gone after them. They have issued a scathing indictment of Google and Facebook. It says the two most dominant internet corporations should be compelled to abandon what it calls their surveillance-based business model, saying it is predicated on human rights abuse. The Global Rights Group says in a 60-page report published Thursday that the company's business model is inherently incompatible with the right to privacy and poses a threat to a range of other rights. AI, Amnesty International, says the companies violate freedom of expression and non-discrimination. The report says the business model forces people to make a Faustian bargain. Faustian bargain because Google and Facebook have grown to dominate the global public square. In a written response, Facebook disputes the report's conclusions and says it surveils its users and violates their privacy. Let me rephrase it so it sounds more accurate. They dispute the report's conclusion.
I'm disputing the report's conclusion.
Yeah, I think you're playing Candy Crush. Let's be frank about that. Anyway, they dispute their conclusion that Facebook surveils their users and violates their privacy. Google also disputed those findings. Isn't that funny? The hen says everything's fine in the... the fox says everything's fine in the hen house. Don't you worry about all these dead chickens.
Well, I certainly think there's room there to be a little concerned, no doubt.
And define a Faustian bargain, please.
Faustian. Deal with the devil.
That's not good. And where did that come from?
Shakespeare.
Okay. I haven't read any Shakespeare in a while.
Well, maybe you should pick some books from time to time.
They glued...
I know you don't read. You have to listen to it.
I listen to it, right. I do have a Shakespeare book on my Audible. Shakespeare book on my Audible.
You know what happens when you shake a beer? It explodes.
Okay. Well, maybe my phone will explode. All right. Anyway, so, yeah, people don't realize that when it comes to they're on Facebook or Google, they see ads and they think, oh, isn't that nice? Google has gone after those advertisers, and of course they show you things you're searching for. People don't realize that they are the product. The advertisers are guiding what happens on Facebook and Google, and people are just the product. We are the product that Google is selling, our private information and our search histories and our interests and our likes and pictures of our grandchildren and et cetera and so forth. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. We talked about...
Actually, Faust was prominently featured in works by a German author, Goethe.
Not Shakespeare, so I'm not as stupid as you think.
Well, Faust is kind of a legendary character. He has a lot of different origins and a lot of different backgrounds.
But not Shakespeare.
I think he's mentioned there.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're clawing at straws, desperately sinking into the mud of arrogance that says, oh, Mark doesn't know about this. I'll tell him it's Shakespeare because Mark's dumb. He'll never know.
Well, you didn't.
Well, I didn't say you were wrong.
I could have told you it was on last week's episode of Blue Bloods and you'd have believed me.
I didn't say that your premise was wrong. I'm just saying your facts were wrong. But your premise was spot on. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. Call us immediately if you wish to talk about the impeachment, long overdue. But one of our listeners isn't happy about that.
She says, I am disgusted by the way the media is giving an account of Mr. Sondland's testimony yesterday before Congress. When he read his introduction, he indicated there was a quid pro quo. However, during cross-examination, he described his statement as his assumption. Instead of telling the correct ending in the headlines or when beginning the story on television, the issue was identified as there was a quid pro quo. Additionally, he implicates all those who are in President Trump's circle of professionalism as being part of the quid pro quo.
The loop.
Sondland was questioned intensely by members of the Republican Party. He described his assumption, saying he not only never met with the president, never was directly told by President Trump to let the Ukrainian president know that until the the demands were the follow until he follows the demands, the money will be withheld. I thought the Republican members like Jim Jordan of Ohio, who are questioning him, would soon come over the desk, as they were visibly upset, and understandably so, for Sunderland's opening remarks of his assumption. But of course, instead of calling an end to this travesty, the media and the Dems are continuing with this kangaroo court. Shameful. The shameful kangaroo court is costing us, the taxpayers, money big time. I wish we could put a stop to it now.
Dale, you're on the mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you know, on the witness table, I'm looking behind the witness table, they're witnessing, there's like about 30 people back there playing on their cell phones and their computers. And I don't know what they're doing. I'm sure they have a...
Candy Crush.
Yeah, I'm sure they got a, you know, a bar degree, right? I'm sure of that. That's pretty sure. But I just wanted to know, you know, services are number one, you know, our top performing thing in our economy, okay? So I'm private sector. 100% of my money, it comes from the... because I create something and, you know, I produce something. And I'm paying for over 150,000 government representatives for me. And I feel like I'm being misrepresented. So I'm just wondering, are they actually pulling this money out to pay for everything out of the private sector taxpayers, you know, or are they borrowing this money?
I think the private sector and public sector and taxpayers are the same. Private sector and taxpayers are a little bit different. I think it's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket.
Okay, so everybody who works for government basically pay taxes. That money is given to them through the private sector, correct?
Right. Well, not all. Many people work for the public sector and get their
public
money from the public sector.
Is what? Is
the government.
Is service.
No.
Which?
The public sector would be the government.
Government. Okay, the private sector pays for government, correct?
Yes.
When you were talking, was it 400, how many people were in the United States? So we're saying that on a daily basis, government's getting stronger and the people are getting weaker, correct?
Well, if you look at it that way, I guess you could make an argument for that. I don't personally believe it.
Okay, when is someone going to hammer the hammer down and say, enough is enough, we're bankrupt, and China and Russia's got to be laughing. Don't you really think? Because we are producing nothing but rackets and scams. And now we're putting it on, we call, quote, public television. Jesus, give me a break. Really? I mean, I wish I could just, you know, for being a private sector taxpayer, I could just bang all their heads together. Because, I mean...
Well, now you're talking violence. We don't allow violence on the air.
Come on, Joe.
People can extort and racket all they want. I mean, it ain't going to hurt me. I'm just saying that it's basically, I think our people are punch drunk or something because they're just, I mean, I would just say right now the private sector is slave labor.
I'm trying to catch your objection here, Dale. Are you upset that the public money is being spent on this impeachment? Are you upset that the government spending money don't like?
The service sector is all government, and that's the number one thing in our economy, and I don't see the private sector covering a bill for that. So we're basically borrowing money. That's just common sense.
Well, we've been running the government on borrowed money for a lot of years.
Since George Washington.
Yeah, so we're gonna call a time.
There was a deficit then.
But paid that one off. There are times the debt's been paid down.
Never gone.
What the crying shame is, you know, we had these small companies that are trying to make foothold, and it only lasted 1 or 2 years because they can't carry away the government that's asking them to carry all the straw. So basically, we are put in slave labor. They're fighting over $9.50 an hour. Are they kidding me?
I know. That's funny. All right.
That's incomprehensible. I mean, I don't know. I think someone needs to call a timeout.
Thank you, Dale.
Yep.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. It's time for a break, but we're talking impeachment. We'll take more comers on the news line. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. And we have a text related to the Democratic candidates, so we're going to keep talking about the impeachment, and we got to talk about the Dems.
And except for the year 1835 to 1836, we have had a debt. But in that year, we had no debt.
We've always had a debt.
The George Washington debt was paid off, if there was any, between 1835 and 1836. During that year, we didn't owe anybody a cent.
So there was a moment we had no debt at all whatsoever?
1835 to 1836.
Oh, brother. And then the Republicans took over again.
No, it was the Whigs.
1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got a caller waiting. We'll take more comers. We got an email, too, so we'll read that on the radio. And we got a text related to the Democrats. But we're on the topic of impeachment right now. Dick's on the line from Milton. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
First of all, I'd like to make these 2 points without any comments, and then you can comment on them. Well, the first one's on Jim Jordan, who always looks like he's one of the cast of 12 Angry Men. But anyhow, you realize that he coached at Ohio State as a wrestling coach, and at the time, one of the doctors out there, Dr. Strauss, who took care of all these athletic teams, ended up charged with 177 counts of sexual abuse, of which over 40 were wrestlers. And they reported this to Jim Jordan, and he refuses to acknowledge he knew anything about this. And basically, as somebody's trained as a lawyer, he never passed the bar, never took the bar exam. First of all, he had an obligation, if anybody came to him, as a coach or as an employee out there, to go to the administration and report these abuses. Obviously, the man ended up with 177 charges. Jim Jordan, to this day, defends himself, said he knew nothing about this, when even the wrestlers and some officials said they notified him. So that's one point. My other point is, and you know what people say about Trump doesn't lie. Well, here's a prime example. When he ended up going to Walter Reed the other day, I'm just reading this online on Business Talk, and I knew this happened. Basically, his wife waited until he got home to find out what's wrong with him. Are you telling me that her press secretary, when that was reported, wouldn't have been on the phone with the people with him and find out what was wrong with him? That they would stand in front of cable news to see if there was any updates? I don't believe that. I mean, there's no way that the people surrounding her wouldn't have been on the phone with Donald's people to find out what was going on immediately. Instead, she waits and says, hey, honey, what were you at Walter Reed for today? I don't believe that. That's my point.
Okay. And I don't have a comment, Joe.
Well, I don't have a comment either, except that, you know, the president seems to be in good health.
That's not my point. My point was that they were standing in front of the cable news thing, watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, because it was reported that he was on his way to Walter Reed, and she waited till he got home to say, did you have a heart attack? I don't believe that. I cannot believe that the people surrounding her, she has a press secretary, wouldn't have been on the phone with the people with him and find out what was going on.
Well, how do you know they weren't?
Because he said that she waited until he got home and asked him what was going on. Why were you at Walter Reed? That's my point.
No, I didn't see that story. Where'd you see that?
I'm reading on this report. I can read it real quickly. This will only take a second. President Trump said his wife, First Lady, was caught off guard. I couldn't believe that he might have gone there and not told her he was gone. My wife said, darling, are you okay? This is when he came home. What was wrong? They were reporting that you had a heart attack. And then, so why would they report that? Trump recounted at his cabinet meeting. My point being is, according to him, she waited until he got home to find out why he was at Walter Reed. I don't believe that.
Well, why would you think there would be a problem? I mean, even if it's true, what's the difference?
The problem is that he would have you believe that they were standing in front of TVs and to see if they could get updates. They found out this on cable news. My point is that people surrounding her would have been on the phone with his people. I don't mean in with the doctor to find out if he was okay. That's my point.
Okay.
To me, he's just telling a story there.
Okay.
It isn't true.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we know they do that sometime.
Yeah, I'm so
well, have you ever, you want to read a book, you want to read a great book sometime? Read The President is a Very Sick Man. It's about Grover Cleveland and the lengths he went to hide the fact that he had mouth cancer. And even had surgery on a boat in the middle of the Potomac River to avoid anybody knowing. You know, President's health has always been something that's closely guarded.
From his wife.
From anybody.
Not supposedly his wife.
You're telling me that back then when he was president, CNN and MSNBC and Fox News wasn't continually covering that?
Grover
Cleveland? No, that was a little before Grover's time.
I understand. That was my point, Joe. That was my first point.
Yeah, Joe, you don't get his points.
I didn't. I missed that one. It went right over my head.
You would. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you for calling
right
in.
Right over my head.
Right. 1-800-795-9565. Joe, emails and texts.
Well, let's see if we can find the emails. Elizabeth Warren has a plan to confiscate money from the rich. That is pure evil. In her nice, soft granny voice, she says she is not looking to punish anyone, yet that's exactly what she wants to do. She acts like the people that are rich have never paid a dime in taxes to support public services like fire, police, schools, or highways, to name a few things. That's why she tries to tell everyone that's how they're built. That's how they built their fortunes, by never paying taxes. To pay for those things, she's a flat-out leftist liar.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
And EB comes back at us with another question. He says, I have a serious question. I've asked it of my conservative friends, and none of them will answer it. They dodge it or change the subject or revert to usual whataboutism. I'll ask it here, and perhaps you or some of your conservative listeners will give me a sincere answer. Why do Republicans think it's okay that Trump asked a foreign country to do something that would benefit him in our Democratic elections? And as a follow-up, will it be okay going forward for Democrats to do likewise? I don't think it's okay to tie something that, you know, foreign aid directly to something that would benefit you. But that's where I differ. I'm not going to go what about, but that's where I differ. I think the president could have been sincerely interested in getting to the bottom of the 2016 election. Now, everybody always says, oh, the Ukraine's participation in meddling in our election in 2016 has been debunked. Well, I haven't seen the debunkation. I've mentioned that to you before. I've seen people say it's been debunked.
It's debunkification.
But let's say he was concerned. Given the benefit of the doubt, if I would give Barack Obama the benefit of the doubt, as I did on Fast and Furious, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that I believe he was sincerely interested in finding out if there was something going on there that might affect the elections going forward. Now, did he suspect that it might benefit him politically? Perhaps. But, you know, on the other hand, there's just a slight chance that he was serious when he said, no quid pro quo, I don't want Zelensky to do anything, just tell him to do the right thing,
that's
do what he was elected to do.
That's after he was busted.
But, you know, no, it's not right to ask if that was his sole motivation. And I'm willing to concede after Sondland's testimony that he did want something in return for his conversation. I don't think that rises to the level of impeachable offense any more than I think people today would say Bill Clinton's lying under oath, which is a very serious offense. If you can't trust people's sworn testimony.
So it's just like political leverage.
Right. I think that it was wrong, as Bill Clinton's was wrong, and the president should get some kind of punishment for it. But whether that's being removed from office, I don't think so.
It sounds like he'll be impeached, but not convicted, by the sounds of it.
Well, I mean, his reputation, such as it is.
All right, anyway, that's a funny one.
Harmed.
All right.
But no, in answer to your question, E.B., I don't think it's right that if he did tie it to that, and that was his sole motivation, then you're right, it's wrong.
Well, and I think Ben Reichle gave the same answer on Friday when asked by Jordy Comas, or I guess it was Friday before, asked by Jordy Comas whether it was proper, if it is shown that the president did this, that it was a quid pro quo, and that it was obvious, and that it was within the loop of the president's leadership team, that it was known that this aid was tied to some deliverables from the Ukrainian government, that that is wrong. But that has not been proven. We appreciate EB's email, and it's a good question, and the answer is no, that's definitely wrong to do that. But the president hasn't been proven to have done that. Now, yes, we had some testimony to that effect yesterday.
Well, everybody takes...
And that's evidence, but that's not proof.
Everybody takes the people who are testifying about things the president did, they take their word as if it was the gospel truth.
Read that CNN article you found. It's an editorial, obviously, but...
Which one?
The one that talks about the impeachment's a done deal now. It's the
one I mailed you this morning?
Yeah, it's the only CNN thing.
Well, I
you
have
sent
to find
me,
that paragraph.
Oh, no,
Sondland,
it's the whole
thing. Sondland destroyed once and for all the earliest presidential talking point that there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine. He explicitly said the prospect of a White House visit for Ukrainian President Zelensky was conditioned on Ukraine announcing an investigation against Trump's possible 2020 rival Joe Biden. Now, let's say that was the case. If all he wanted was, you're not going to come to the White House unless you do this, I don't think that's as bad as you're not going to get your money that the Congress approved unless you do this.
Right.
Who he invites to the White House should be entirely up to him, and for whatever reason he invites them.
Well, it's not really selling leverage or selling influence.
I mean, Clinton's
it's
used
just
to sell
using
the Lincoln bedroom. I mean, that's how they made a lot of money. Their best donors got to stay the night of the Lincoln bedroom.
Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
I know it's true, but is it right?
Well, no, but it's not against the law, and I don't think it's against the law to say, Mark, I'm not going to invite you to my Christmas party unless you fix my parking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, okay, if you can fix my parking ticket or you pay for my parking ticket.
Do you give out parking tickets in Shamokin Dam?
Huh? If you park illegally, yes.
Oh, just for illegal parking, not over.
We don't have meters.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is the open line. There are no callers on that line, so call us immediately about the impeachment. We just had a fabulous email related to the Democratic candidates running for president, all of whom would make a better president than the one we got.
Bah.
So, okay. Joe disagrees, although he does say Pete Buttigieg might be okay. Who else might be okay? Let's suppose you had to. You know, President Trump wasn't running for real. Election for some reason, maybe got impeached, but there would be another Republican, I guess. Pete Buttigieg would be Andrew
on the surface,
Yang?
But you know the question is we have had. He would certainly be breaking barriers. I mean, I can remember when John Kennedy ran, and there was a big debate about whether a Catholic should ever be elected president of the United States. There was a big debate about whether Barack Obama should be elected as a mixed-race president. I'm sure there will be some people who are concerned over the fact that Mr. Buttigieg has come out as a gay, and whether or not, you know, the country is ready for its first gay president. Are we ready for our first transgender president? You know, are all these things, should we be so inclusive that these things don't ever make a difference?
Have our first presidents been good presidents?
Well, let's see. What first president? First Catholic, John Kennedy? He was okay, but, you know, his personal conduct left a lot to be desired.
Okay. One of our listeners sends a text that says, get Trump to testify in capital letters. Another one says, Americans should be mad as heck that we give billions of dollars to foreign countries and get what? Corruption, lawlessness, and abuse. And
speculates that Trump was having mini strokes.
Well, that's a rumor. That's a Facebook rumor.
And
then let's see if he pays his $2 million fine to the New York City for fraud as it relates to, I think, a nonprofit. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. Dan, stand by. Cindy, you're going to go first. Last caller before a quick break. And because that relates directly to what we just talked about, this idea of all the money we waste overseas. Go ahead.
They recently had an article about the situation with water on the Navajo Nation. You know, they have a very extensive nation down in the American Southwest. And they have no running water. Not only that, but they can't have wells on their land because the water has been terribly contaminated by uranium mining that took place around the reservation. So don't you think if we have a moral obligation to spend this money, that it would be better spent to solve this water problem for our neighbors, the people in our country? The same is true for the Lakota Sioux in South Dakota. No running water. No running water for hundreds of miles in either case. Why do we tolerate that? Why don't we use this money we're squandering, sending it to the, as they reported, as I heard these diplomats say in the hearings, third most corrupt country in the world, the Ukraine. We've given them billions now. Why aren't we spending that money instead to help our own people? And where is that money coming from? Well, tax revenue has fallen short of federal spending. I think we all realize that. So we're borrowing. We're running up our credit card to play Santa Claus to a corrupt country while neglecting, in a negligent fashion, as far as I'm concerned, the very real needs of everyday Americans. I think that's terrible.
We got to have our foothold against Soviet aggression.
Oh, please. Please. Okay. You know, we spent my whole childhood, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. I don't recall that they came. You know, there is a scheme. I think Eisenhower referred to it as the military-industrial complex. There is these people who feed off of our aggression across the world need us to be poking our nose into every problem and buying more and more weapons, and if not using them ourselves, then providing them to those countries. You know, Joe, you criticize the superhero movies as not being real cinema. Well, in Iron Man, what is the question but that Tony Stark's company is fueling wars in the Middle East? And he recognizes this and tries to stop it.
Good man.
By refusing to do this anymore. There's a lesson there. Stan Lee was telling us something, and we really ought to be paying attention to it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good point, Cindy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I didn't get a chance to talk about this just briefly. I was looking to read this to you because the Democrats are starting to eat their young in the debates last night. It says, as the heated discussion unfolded in MSNBC's debate in Atlanta, Hawaii Democrat Representative Tulsi Gabbard, and she's another one I could accept, by the way, who was recently accused by Hillary Clinton of being a Russian asset, offered a blunt assessment. Our Democratic Party, unfortunately, is not the party that is of, by, and for the people, she said. Gabbard also doubled down on earlier comments that Clinton represents, quote, the personification of the rot in the Democratic Party. She said the party is influenced by a foreign policy establishment that supports regime change wars. She called it the Bush-Clinton-Trump foreign policy doctrine. Harris then attacked Gabbard for appearing on Fox News. Well, that's a sin, isn't it?
Well,
a Democrat on Fox News. Oh,
pretty strident
terrible.
On there for a long time. Versus,
I think she speaks more honestly and more frankly than any of the other candidates up there.
Well, yeah, she's a contender. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. If you are ready for a new Ford, the place to go would be the Sunbury Motor Company, because they got a wide range of vehicles, small trucks, big trucks, smarter cars, electric cars, you name it, they got it in the Ford line. Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. The Kia Telluride is just a super vehicle. You can get the all-wheel drive version in all black with the white lettering, and oh my God, it just looks like a great vehicle. Lincoln is what we're going to get. Joe, we're getting him a Navigator SUV so he can tool around. I'm going to make sure that it's electric so he saves a little gas, even though he doesn't want to.
I want the motor.
I know, you want the V8. Maybe, if you behave for 5 minutes. but that's what they can do with the Sunbury Motor Company. They've got a wide range of car types and prices and styles and mileages and longevities and capacities, and that's the beauty of going to the Sunbury Motor Company is you don't get buttonholed into just one vehicle. They got lots of opportunities, lots of choices, lots of vehicles from which to choose at the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check them out in advance, sunburymotors.com, and then go see Jason or Mickey or Jeff or Mike or Ernie or Austin, and they'll set you up. Oh, Dan has been so patient. Thank you so much for waiting, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I have a question. You both can try to answer this. How many people have changed their mind about the president since all these proceedings have started?
Odd that you should ask that. There was just a survey that came out yesterday that showed almost nobody has changed their mind.
And this is what I find. I talked to a lawyer the other night. I don't know which how he feels about the president, but what he told me, he said the only thing these proceedings are helping is helping the president win another election, in his estimation. And I haven't seen anything impeachable yet. The only quid pro quo was on Biden and what he said about what he did over there. He did get something for what he put pressure using the government on them. That's the only quid pro quo I seen on the whole thing. So the president is coming out looking better than ever. In fact, yesterday the testimony was in his favor, and he announced it at a newscast what was said under oath, and he's looking better all the time. I don't get all what the other side sees about Trump. I fail to see it.
You don't know what they have against him?
Yeah, really. They have nothing. This is just a continuation of the people that didn't want Trump in there in the first place. The resistance movement. This is the same people trying to find something on Trump to get him out. Nothing's changed. They didn't want him in to begin with, and now they're trying to get him out, and it's backfiring on him. He's going to win. If they keep this up, he's bound to win the one they don't want in there.
Well, I think, what do we dislike about the president? I mean, or what policies don't we agree with? Things that relate to immigration, lack of health care, use of the military, pulling us out of Syria.
You're listing all the good things he's done.
Right. It just depends on your perspective. But the fact that he's, completely morally bankrupt is an irritation,
now,
although that doesn't really affect the nation.
How do you arrive at that conclusion, that he's completely morally bankrupt? That's one hell of a statement.
Well, he grabs women by the,
he
you know,
doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't. Now he's changed his
You're
mind.
You're talking
okay.
about things that he's, happened 4 years ago during the primary run-ups.
Right.
These things. He hasn't grabbed people's
crotch. He hasn't done it lately. Well, that is
White
true.
House.
That is very true. He probably has stopped doing those kind of things.
You look at Trump. You people on the other side keep saying that, but you look at Trump's family, a beautiful family, and they're all out supporting their father. They're all great, successful people.
Well, I don't think he would grab them in that way. I'm not saying that he's illegally
I know
perverted.
They like to put
You're
that out
hole,
against
brother.
The president, and that's getting so old, it stinks. I'm
all
not
right.
even going to bring up anybody else that did morally worse in the Democratic Party. I'm not even going to bring that up. Because I get tired of beating a dead horse. But
all right.
Okay. I don't see Trump as morally wrong. Like you people say, is he might have made some mistakes, said some things he shouldn't have.
Okay.
Which
we have to go.
Dan, we have to go because we got three callers backed up behind you.
Thank you.
President, keep on making America great.
Okay, thank you.
Guys, have a good one.
Okay, we do have three other calls pending, so we are kind of sticking to our time limit. One of our friends, EB, who's called, answered the question a while ago, now has a follow-up. Just curious why you don't think impeachment is a suitable punishment. I didn't think I thought what Bill Clinton did was bad, but I didn't think it was impeachable. I don't think this is impeachable because so far, there's been no harm, no foul. And I agree with the argument that just because you attempted to commit a crime and failed doesn't mean you get off scot-free. But here, there was no, foreign aid is tied to stuff all the time. Did he make a mistake? Yeah, I think he did, if Sondland's testimony is believable. But I don't believe it's an impeachable offense. And look at all the stuff they were trying to drag up about the Mueller report. They were going to impeach him on that. Are you hearing any witnesses being called, reference to the Mueller report and Russian collusion?
What about
no,
the Mueller?
No, not one.
What about Naomi? Paul, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, you people are dealing strictly with all things that are happening in Washington. But my point is, what is Washington doing for the nation? After all, they are supposed to look for the future of this country, not what is making it a bad country. And because of that, you have no goals. Kennedy put the people on the payroll by saying, why do we want to go to the moon? It's because it is there. And he set a goal and for the nation in which to achieve. And we have no goals to achieve because we don't have a government that is willing to set them.
Too much politics, right?
Right.
Exactly. All right. Agreed. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that. That puts Bill on the air. Good morning, Bill. Last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
Yeah, just real quick. This liberalism is the new socialism. And now, if you take the House majority, the House, the Democrats, take 50 people in a basement in a sealed room, and then they find maybe 8 people that are disgruntled towards the president, and then they put them up there and question them, and then they stop the Democrats. They don't let them call the Republicans and don't call witnesses. This is the direction that this country is going. If they win the presidency, win the House, and win the Senate, there is no, it's my way or the highway. And this is the taste, this is the tip of what they're going to do. Take your guns, do this, do that, open borders. And government funding is people funded. It's taxpayer funded. And that's all it's going to be. Give us your money. This is what we want. And don't care what, you know what I mean? They don't care about the people. They just want to stay in office. And it's sad, very sad. And I don't know how, Mark, you could be in favor of that stuff.
I'm not in favor of that. I wish the hearings were fair. I've said before, I certainly know that the president was wielding influence and sort of selling influence, but I don't think it's impeachable.
They'll tell you right out. We don't believe in the Second Amendment. We don't believe our founding fathers. It's wrong.
Who said that?
How could you run on that?
Who said
Hillary? That was Hillary. That's what she ran on.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, she's not president. We're talking about President Trump.
Yeah, but you got a guy in there. You got a guy in there that's following the Constitution. And you got to keep him there. He's holding all these countries accountable. They're strong-arming him on everything he wants to do. Just imagine if he could do what he wants to do to make this country better without fighting the Democrats. We'd be 100 times farther, 100 times better.
Farther along. Okay, we got you. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate the call.
It's the truth.
Believe you. It's a fabulous opinion, and it's valid, and many people agree on both sides that the hearings aren't conducted fairly.
So why did the Democrats that you favor, why do they fight everything he tries to do and hold this country up like the Canadian-Mexican deal? Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll do it at the end of the year. Pelosi mm-hmm. says. And it's proven that it's going to be better for the Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't agree, I guess.
Well, she could get that bill out there.
Trump made the deal. Yeah. And this false narrative is just to impeach. This is all crap just to try to impeach this man.
Well, if they pass the USMCA? I forget the... Yeah,
that's correct.
If they pass that, that would give Trump a win, and they're not about to give him a win.
That's right. And they're hurting the people. So how could you vote for these people?
All right. We haven't yet, but we may get an opportunity. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for calling in.
Obama was a great man.
We appreciate that. Couldn't agree more. Thank you. Okay. All right. 1-800-795-9565. One caller left waiting, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Bobby D., thank you so much for waiting. You are on the mark. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. One observation that I have from watching all these hearings and that is sometimes I think they've gotten off track. I mean, you know, the whole point, you know, of course, with the president and, you know, is it an impeachable offense or not? And that, but somehow a lot of other things are being brought up that I think don't have anything to do with that.
Like what?
Well, as far as his foreign policy and all that, and things that happened, and that with withholding the money back and all that sort of thing. But you know, digging into the as far as like the background of the Bidens and the other companies and stuff. And that, and I really don't think that has anything to do with it.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Bobby. Thanks for waiting, too.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate that.
And let's see, we have some emails here. One of our emailers says, I think it's funny how Biden stated he would not dictate any prosecution as president. What about dictating a prosecutor to be fired as vice president? Okay, there's an interesting assertion. And another one says, Dan's assertion that Trump's children are successful is the funniest thing I've heard all week. They got where they are because Rich Daddy gave them opportunities. None of them could cut it on their own. Gee, it sounds somewhat like Hunter Biden, who just wound up being losing a paternity test, drummed out of the military for drug abuse.
So that's a good what about?
And yet he winds up with a $50,000 a month job with a Ukrainian gas company. Had nothing to do with his dad.
Well, I think it probably had because of who he is. That's why he got the job. And anybody can stipulate that.
Well, I mean, any number of people would want to hire, you know, somebody who's famous or their children, you know, whether you like it or not.
Email.
And then let's see. You are
bottom
not
right.
even bringing up my statement into the conversation, whereas Mr. Sunderland retracted his comment that there was no quid pro quo. I watched the entire program yesterday and heard him do that, which, of course, made him look like a silly person for even saying such a damning remark in his introduction and then retracting it as an assumption. Wow. How come did that statement of his claim of assuming...
We're missing some prepositions.
Yeah, there's some
there.
Prepositions here.
But anyway...
Maybe the sense of it is, how did we miss the fact that the president said there was no pro quo not get included in his opening statement? He was asked that. One more nail in President Trump's coffin, and the Dems and the media and, of course, you guys are pounding it harder by ignoring this statement by Mr. Sunland. Why? Well, I think that, you know, he did say that it was, his assumption. And then when he was asked directly whether or not the president ever told him to do anything like that, his answer was no.
Well, and Joe's already stated his opinion about the impeachment that if what Sunderland said is true, then it is inappropriate wielding of influence. I have the same opinion. I don't really think it's impeachable. I never have been convinced that this is an impeachable offense. I don't think it's the right way to run foreign policy. And I think the whistleblower is right to point it out as an infraction of good ethics. Joe's going to have a long weekend, so
yes,
enjoy.
I am.
Monday
I am.
Morning, we'll have a segment of Senator Bob Casey's remarks about the impeachment. Then we'll have the rest on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday. Tomorrow, Ben Reichle's got the day off, so John Shipman will be here. And guess what? We'll talk about the impeachment and Convention of States and other good topics.
Sure, John will have some good opinions.
This is News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury.